So guys, I'm going to talk to you today about identity. And so oftentimes we find our identity through our work, through maybe music we listen to, through our friends, and sometimes even through our so-called comments from our so-called friends on social media. A lot of times those things give us identity. It put something in our mind about this is who I am. And the thing is, the Bible tells us very clearly that each of us is a son or daughter of the Most High. That is your primary identity. You are a son or daughter of the Most High. The Bible is very clear on that. Now, what happens is a lot of times we find our identity by things in the physical world, by things that people might say to us. Maybe your identity in your mind is husband or wife. Maybe your identity is father or mother or child. Sometimes you find your identity in school. I'm a straight-A student. I'm the class clown. Whatever it might be, you allow those things to create your identity and who you believe you are. The other thing that impacts our identity and changes who we believe we are our social economic status. Whether you're wealthy or poor, those things tend to identify us or we get identified in that situation. Sometimes it's something that might have happened to you becomes your identity. There's a lot of victims in this world. Sometimes you have multiple identities. You have your church friends and you have your secular friends, and your identity is different with one group versus another group. Social media has created an environment where we can create whatever identity we want. We can be whoever we want, and nobody will know the difference. Right? Hey. Here's the danger in having an identity like that, and I call it a false identity. And today I want us to explore who we really are. What is my identity is a question I want to ask you today. The problem with the identities I just defined is they create a false illusion. They're things that can fade away. And then who are you? So I want to share a story with you about this man and his son. And I'm going to read this to you. It says, the five-year-old says to his dad, "Daddy, I can't fly down the stairs even though I'm wearing my Superman cape." "Why, Daddy, what's wrong?" asks the five-year-old boy. And the dad, being his usual practical self, fought the urge to roll his eyes back and say, "Well, duh." Instead, he patiently reminded his son that this only happens in a pretend world. He knows it, but often needs to be reminded of this stark, not-so-fun reality. The five-year-old absolutely loves pretend play, so much so that at times he struggles to differentiate between pretend and real. Now, I think of as adults, we have the same problem at times, don't we? Sometimes we live in a false world and we create false identities about who we really are. And what happens, guys, is it robs us of the fullness of the identity that we have in Christ. We tend to put on false personas. We put on this idea that I'm somebody different than what Christ really made me to be. You see, the real world has a lot of brutal truths. The real world is a scary place. We face responsibilities. We face all kinds of things that are very difficult to manage at times. But we choose to live in a world that's more than what we hoped it could be, rather than what it really is. This concept can be tricky but it's something that we need to remind ourselves about again and again. The good news is this: there is help to live out our lives and find our identity fully through the Word of God. Now, I remember before I knew Christ, identity was one of those things that I struggled with often. Was who am I really? I made my own ideas of who I was and tried to live up to those expectations. I tried to be something I wasn't many times. I tried to be an athlete because all my friends were athletes. And there were certain sports I was good at and certain sports that I had no business playing. I had some serious eye trouble as a young man, and I shouldn't be out in the outfield, I'll put it that way. I needed to play sports where the ball was this big. I found that success in my family meant that you had to be really good at whatever career you chose to do. And so that became my identity later on. I fought and fought to be the best software developer I could be and do the best at what I could in everything that, you know, came in front of me in my job. And so that became my identity, and I had this expectation now that I had to live up to. And I fought and fought and fought to live up to that. And it just let me down later on in life. It was a false identity. That's not who I was. That's what I wanted to be. Well, if you guys would turn your Bibles to John 4, the Gospel of John chapter 4, I want us to take a moment and look at this passage about the Samaritan woman at the well. And you can easily see that she had an identity problem as we get into this passage. So keep that in mind as we read it. And we're going to begin in John chapter 4, verse 7. And we're going to read through 29. That's a lot of verses. Do I have any takers that would feel like reading this morning? And I do have an event. I should have said that on Bible, the YouVersion Bible. Yes, sir. You want to read it?
4 through 29.
Yes. Thank you, Justice.
All right. 4 or 7?
7.
7?
Yep.
Okay, cool. All right. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman from Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, you give me this water so that I will not be thirsty and not have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, I am who you speak to." Just when his disciples came back, they marveled that he was talking with the woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me all I ever did. Can this be the Christ?
Thank you, Justice. So this conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman and the events that follow are actually a paradigm shift. They're a paradigm shift that I want to use as a discussion into identity and liberty. Many people read this story and they give this woman a label, the adulterous woman, or the woman with five husbands. We read that part that Jesus shares with us, and that's the first thing that often comes to our mind, right? This is a sinful woman. This is a woman that has had five husbands, and now she's living with somebody else. And what we miss here is that's the identity that people have given her, but Christ gives her a new identity. What takes place now is she goes from merely being known as a Samaritan woman with five husbands to being a messenger of Christ. She goes into a village and she evangelizes. Says, this man told me everything about me that he didn't know. Could this be the Messiah? And many people came out and believed, it says. And so this woman's identity, if she allowed her identity to be this sinful woman that has had five husbands, her whole life might have been very different. But once she encountered Christ and he gave her her true identity, things changed. She became a messenger of his. She became the bearer of good news. And so oftentimes we allow those things in our life to hold us back from being the messenger of the good news. We don't allow that identity to sink in that I am a child of God. Jesus has set me on a mission. I am not a divorcee. I am not a sinner. I am not whatever it is. I am a child of God, and I bring you good news. It transformed this woman's life. And it transformed lives of those that she went and encountered and shared the good news with. That's a pretty cool story. In fact, we use John 4. That's where we got the name of the Well Church. As we want people to come here as they are and encounter the risen Savior and find their true identity in him. And that's exactly what took place here. The undiluted, amazing, eternal truth is this: that our identity lies in the person of Jesus Christ. It doesn't lie in this world. Let me give you an example. You are just too cute, dude. Smiling at me? Yes. When we find our identity in things like husband or wife, or our job, or parent or grandparent, that is for a short season at times. I've been married and divorced, so I went from being a husband to a divorcee. What was my identity?
Single dad.
It changed, right? It changes, it changes. And so it's a constant flux of who am I now? And I remember struggling after going through a divorce and later on coming into my faith and studying the Bible and wanting to be a pastor, feeling led to be a pastor and starting my ministry training in college. And remember, I went through a divorce as a Christian. I got remarried. I went through another divorce as a Christian. And it rocked my world. It shook me up. It made me think there is no way I can be a pastor now. As a Christian man, I just had a failed marriage, and that's now my identity. And I struggled with that and struggled with that. I'm like, there's no way. I'm disqualified from this office, from taking this position. Well, I'll tell you what, God was very clear in his word to me about that situation. But that didn't disqualify me. It gave me a testimony. And when I learned to find my identity in Christ and not my circumstances, I became free. I became able to live my life out fully. You see, when we take on these false identities, we're cutting ourselves short. There's so much more that God has in store for you, but we cut it short when we begin to allow those identities to shape us. The one identity that is eternal is your identity in Christ, and that should be our identity, period. Now, in that identity, you might play roles. You might play the role of mom, you might play the role of dad, or parent, or student, or you know, whatever your job title might be. But that's a role, it's not your identity. The identity formed by the things of this world, they hold us captive. They hold us captive. And we have expectations that we try to meet that are false expectations. The thing about our identity in Christ is there's freedom. And I found that freedom. And it's my hope and prayer that you do as well. So what does this freedom and captivity look like in daily life? Well, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is all about our freedom. He did that to free us from sin, to free us from this world, to free us from the bondage of death. Yet cluttered as our lives might actually be, whatever difference you might have on ideologies and opinions in this world, and I know there's lots of them, what does it mean to be free? There is a great task of keeping up with the expectations that society places on us, right? Anybody ever feel that burden? The weight of this world? I know I do. I know that, you know, my job can be nuts at times. It's stressful. And then there's times where there's so many things that need to be done in this house that there's this burden on me. And then there's church, keeping up with everybody in church, making sure I'm praying for people, writing sermons every week. There's a lot of burden and expectation on me. And I'm sure all of you face many similar things throughout the week. The problem is, if that's our identity, you're going to find that to be bondage. It's going to shackle you to the ground and keep you from living the fullest or the fullness that Christ came to give us. What about trying to maintain a good social image? Maintain a good reputation. But there's burden in that. It's very easy to cave into the demands around us, right? How many here have never felt peer pressure? Anybody? You know, a lot of times we're afraid to talk about Christ even because of peer pressure. We're afraid of what people might say to us and what might happen to our reputation. That's what I mean by we're in captivity by these things. But let me tell you something. Everything changes when we put those identities aside and find our identity in Christ alone. Our identity is reshaped. It's reshaped when we acknowledge the existence and power of God and make room for His leadership in our life. If you're struggling with identity issues, seek out Christ. Seek out who you are in Him. See, true freedom is given by a God-given identity. A God-given identity, not a world-given identity. And it's better experienced when we know that Jesus has set us free. The reason we took communion today is a reminder of what He did on the cross for us. The other thing to note is, better still, He anoints us. He anoints us to share the freedom with others, to share the good news, just like the Samaritan woman did. I'm going to read this. You can turn if you want, but Isaiah 61. The prophet Isaiah in 61, he was a spokesperson for God, a great spokesperson for God. He gave many warnings and many prophecies about the coming Messiah. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, it says, "The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, and announce freedom to all captives." freedom to all captives. You see, living in freedom gets simplified when we allow the Holy Spirit to govern us. That's a word there, allow the Holy Spirit to govern us. You know, the thing about God is He gives us free will so that we're not robots. He gives us choices that we can make to love Him or to deny Him, to follow Him or to follow the world. And so if you allow your life to be governed by God's precious Holy Spirit, you will find this true identity and you will live according to the life that He's anointed you for. You know, the things we need to ask ourselves are this: am I still living in a captivity mindset? Do I believe that I'm bound to this identity that I've found in this world? Has it stopped me from doing the things that God has called me to do? Have I allowed myself to experience the freedom of Christ in every area of my life? See, Christ doesn't just want one area of your life. He wants all of your life. Do you trust Him with every part of your life? Do you believe what His Word says? Am I willing to be led by God to actually start living as His? Am I willing? That's a bold step for many people, and there's a lot of people that are afraid to take that step. They think there's some type of bondage that I've got to give up all these things, which you do, by the way, at some point. But you're getting a better exchange. The things you think you're giving up that are so great can't compare to the freedom in Christ. You see, the answers to these questions begin to unfold when we look at our life through the lens of the gospel. The lens of the gospel. How does the word of God apply to my life? It's the good news of the gospel that makes all the difference. It paves the way for us to actually experience the freedom in Christ. Freedom. Identity found outside of Christ confines our ability to love and to be loved. But our identity in Christ removes these restraints. It removes them. And enables us to love deeper and be loved completely. What I found is a lot of the reasons we take on identities is because we're looking for those two things. We want to be loved, and we want to love. And we're looking for them through world identities. And if you want to find a complete freedom, a loving ability that comes from nowhere else, you find it in your identity in Christ. The underlying truth is that's why we are created. We are created to love and to be loved. Unfortunately, the world has put a distorted view on what love is. It has shaped our minds and our thoughts and our attitudes to what love is. And I can assure you, what the world teaches about love is wrong. It is very wrong. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a decision that you make. The reason this is so important is that our lives have to be, let me back that up. I'm trying to think of the best way to state this. If we were meant to love and to be loved, if that was God's purpose for our life, if we don't grasp onto that, we're going to miss who our identity really is. Does that make sense? If He created us for that purpose, and we're not living for that purpose, we have a false identity. We're trying to create a person that we weren't meant to be. Before it becomes a feeling, love was all about a relationship. Where there's no relationship, there's no love. That relationship was first revealed to us in the person. In 1 John verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 8, it says that God is love. God is love. God was and always has been. God always existed. And if God is love, and God is a person, he's God, but he's an individual, if you will, then love has always existed. God and love have always existed. And our identity in Christ empowers us to love. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." That's our identity. We are God's handiwork. If He created you for His purpose, that's your identity. And what happens is we change that identity. We try and change it into something we want it to be versus what God created it to be. And it leads us into false hopes and false expectations, and it cuts us short of everything God created us to be. Does that make sense? You guys following with me? The Bible says that we were created in God's image. His image. Both men and women created in God's image. And this love is manifested. The love that we're talking about from God is manifested when we walk out our actual identity as sons and daughters of God. The fullness of Christ. God's love extended when we walk out our life with Christ. That's why outreach is so important. So people can understand and see the reflection of God. Even though it may still be distorted, they can recognize the love of God coming from those that are walking with Him. Our identity in Christ equips and empowers us. It elevates us to loving God, to knowing God, and to loving people. Now, I'm talking about how we appear on the outside, but let's talk about this. There's much more to this than what appears on the outside. We can act like we love people. We can make decisions to love people. We can show people love by our outward appearance. In Galatians 3:26 and Genesis 1:27, it points to what I want to get to here. In Galatians 3:26, it says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Through faith, you are a child of God." Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them." So we are created in the image of God. And so it's natural that inside, everything inside of us wants to excel at what we do. There is nothing wrong to be more than what we are, because it echoes the core being of who we are. If God is greatness, if God is holy, if God is everything, and we are images of Him, then we want to be better than what we are. We want to excel in our life. But if you have the wrong identity, you're going to try and excel in the wrong areas. It says, "Be like Christ, be holy because I am holy." So as an image bearer of God, we have this desire to want to do better, want to improve in areas of our life. When we get our identity correct, we will excel in the right areas of our life. First Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possessions, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light." You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You guys ever think yourselves as royal? The Bible says that you're heirs with Christ. heirs with Christ. That he didn't just die for our sins, but he gave us an abundance. So I came to give life abundantly. The only way you're going to find that abundant life is in him. You know, although I've struggled in the past of trying to figure out who I was and what my identity was, I can assure you this, that the more I excelled in certain areas of my life where I thought I had identity, I hit a certain plateau every time. I hit a plateau and I got bored. I'm like, oh, I got to find a new me. This is not fun anymore. I never found freeness or freedom in that. I never found true fulfillment in that. I'll give you an example of where I am today. I got an award earlier this year for being the top performer on my team for the year. And they gave me this nice crystal award that I set up on the mantle over there. And my daughter, Ashley, comes to me today and says, Dad, your award's got a chip in it. And I looked at her and I said, oh, well. It was knocked off the mantle recently, and I picked it up, put it back on, and she noticed the chip in the award. And I said, you know what? I don't really care. I said, it's a great accomplishment, but that's not who I am. And so that gives you an example. Before, that thing would, I'd have it in a case on the wall, along with all my other awards, making sure everybody saw what Tim did. That was my life before Christ. Today, those things don't matter. My award's in heaven. My reward is in heaven. And when I live my life in that identity, I find freedom. I no longer have these crazy expectations and the weight of the world on my shoulders. When I remember, first, I am a child of God. I am called with a mission. I'm called to love and know his love completely, even if people don't love me back, or even if people don't deserve it. I know God's love, and therefore I can share God's love. I can walk in freedom. I don't have these big, lofty, worldly goals like I used to have. I trust Christ with everything in my life, everything. Whatever he has planned, I'm ready for. Because I know his word says he'll prepare me and he'll go with me wherever he sends me. I know that he's defeated death, so I don't have to worry about death. I know he's defeated sin, so I know I can come before God with a clear conscience. I know that he's given me a mission in this world, and that's to share who he is. And so I don't care what people say to me on Facebook or social media. I'm going to tell people who he is. I don't care about that in my job. I use my job as a ministry. My job is not my identity. In fact, people at my job now call me Reverend. That's my identity. You know, there were times where I was nervous about that, thinking, okay, they're going to treat me different. They're going to fire me. But what's happened, guys, is people I know have come to know Christ through my job. People that have struggled have started asking me questions about who God is. I've had the opportunity to go all over this nation and pray in different cities for different people. That's my identity. It's not Tim the sales engineer, it's Tim the reverend. It's Tim that wants to just follow Christ in everything, to give his life, just as Jesus gave his life to me. When you find that identity in your life, you're going to find something totally different. You're going to cling on to what's everlasting, not something that's going to come and go and at a whim's notice. You have no idea what God has in store. Everything we have in this physical world is is susceptible to all kinds of decay. It can be stolen, it can be taken. You can lose everything in a heartbeat. What happens to your identity then? Right? So I want you to think about that today. Who am I? What is my identity? Jobs come and go, guys. Houses come and go. Cars come and go. People come and go. Christ doesn't. With you for eternity. Why don't you try seeking him out today? When we find it in Christ alone, when you recognize that you are a child of God, and that is your identity, see if you don't find freedom in that. I'm one standing here today to tell you there's lots of freedom in that. When we take away the fears, take away the doubts that come with this world, you'll find freedom. Now, there are times where people have gone through situations in their life and they've been given a label. Whether it be an addict, an adulterer, whether it be a narcissist, a word I know you like to use. Whatever that title's given, I've been abused, been molested. The world is cruel, guys. And there's lots of labels that we've carried throughout life. Maybe today is a day where you shed that identity. I'm no longer those things. I am no longer addicted. I am no longer a narcissist. I am no longer an abused victim. I am a victor. I am a child of God. Make that your identity. Don't let the world identify you or give you an identity. That's a false identity.
I know that when I feel like I'm labeled, I tend to become that
exactly.
Label. Instead of yep. Becoming who it is that Christ wants me to be.
You're absolutely right, Laura. When I was in school, so many of you have probably heard or figured out by now that I struggle with ADHD, more on the less on the H side, more on the D side. And it wasn't heard of when I was in elementary school. I was not a well-known thing. And I struggled big time, you know, with my studies. And so I was always in the principal's office. I was the kid that distracted everybody in school. I was a class clown. And I carried that identity. I'm like, well, this is who I am, so that's who I'm going to be. And I didn't excel at anything. And then later on, I think I outgrew part of it. I still struggle with many. Cindy will tell you. But through that, I've learned that if I allowed that to create my identity for the rest of my life, I'd be in trouble. I would never have been successful at anything. I would have just agreed with it and gone along with it. So don't let this world give you an identity. The world doesn't know you like God knows you. The world didn't create you, God created you. Let his word be your identity. Find it in Christ. All right, let me pray, guys.